أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We're going to be looking at Surah Al-Fajr, which is Surah number 89 of the Quran. It's a Makki Surah and has 30 ayat. It's apt to study this Surah in the month of Muharram because there's a hadith from Imam Sadiq al-Islam which says, recite Surah Al-Fajr, which is the Surah of Hussein ibn Ali in your Salah, whether they be wajib or mustahab, for one who recites it will be with him, with Hussein ibn Ali, at the same place in heaven on the Day of Judgment. Chronologically, it's the 10th surah to be revealed. It begins with a reflection on the divine system of creation and focuses on accountability, ending with the regret of those who are defiantly rebellious in the ultimate success of those who submit to divinity. In other words, it conceptualizes success and failure as seen by divinity. We will divide the surah into 5 sections. The first section is a reflection on 4 oaths. It's a section which is in essence a wake-up call, and it's oaths for those with rock-solid intelligence. Ayah 5 says, "Hal fi dhalika qasamun lidhi hijr?" Is there not in these oaths a lesson or something to think about for those with rock-solid intelligence? The second section is historical examples of the people of Ad, Thamud and Fir'aun, powerful nations who went beyond the limits because they were powerful, and they became defiant. Their arrogance went into rebelliousness. The third section looks at tests. It alludes to the fact that both blessings and constraints are tests, and the key flaw in the human being is ungratefulness. The fourth section looks at the consequence of ungratefulness and therefore arrogance and rebelliousness and tughyan, which is crossing the limits, and it graphically shows the Day of Qiyamah with the regret of those who were defiantly disobedient on that day. And finally, there's a profound shift, and now this looks at the ultimate success, which is the total tranquility and contentment of the soul and its reward, which is Jannah, in other words, reaching its full potential and the pleasure of his or her Rabb. So let's start with the first section, which is Ayah 1 to 5, and here is where Allah is swearing or where there are oaths. Now the Arabs used to swear on random objects to get the attention of people. Allah swears to emphasize the importance of what he is swearing by, and the object becomes a proof of the subjects. So in other words, it becomes a sort of prelude to the topic. For example, if we look at Surah Al-Waqiyah, in Ayah 75, Allah says, "فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِ النُّجُومِ." I swear by the placement of the stars. And then he says, وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. And if only you knew, this is a really big, a great oath. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. Most surely it's an honored Qur'an. Now, when he's swearing by the stars, he's alluding to the fact that they were guiding stars. They were used for navigations on a journey in the desert. And he says that's a great oath. And immediately after the object of the oath, it is the subject, which is the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. It's an honored Qur'an. Appreciate the guiding awesomeness of the Qur'an. So oaths are to be reflected upon. And let's start with this one where Allah says, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَالْفَجْرِ. I swear by Fajr. Fajr means to tear something, to let light through. And it could mean tearing open the night to allow the day through. It could be the time of the beginning of life. It could be the end of faded darkness when sleep ends and the movement of living creatures begin. It could be the beginning of knowledge, of awareness, of wakefulness. It could be the dawn of the light of Islam with the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It could be the dawn of the rise of Imam al-Mahdi ajallahu farajah. But we will look at it as the dawn of the rise of Imam Hussein alaihi salam on the day of Ashura on the plains of Karbala. In essence, all revolutions against ignorance, against arrogance and injustice are example of fajr. It is, in essence, freedom from the darkness of shackles of ignorance and control. Imam's refusal to do bay'ah, to give allegiance, was to reject the darkness of shackles. In Suratul A'raf, Surah number 7, Ayah 157, when Allah talks about Rasulullah, He says, "It was He, وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ." He came to break, to relieve them of the burdens and the shackles which were upon them. So the idea of Fajr in our lives is a beginning of wakefulness, a beginning of knowledge, a beginning of looking at ourselves and thinking, who am I? What is my goal in life? What is my purpose in life? Where do I want to go? What is the ideal life? An ideal life is, in essence, a life connected to divinity, which translates itself into kindness and mercy to others. A life that cries with others when they're hurt, rejoices with them when they're happy, where no relationship is a burden, but more so, breaking free, becoming free from the shackles of arrogance, ignorance, and injustice. The next ayah says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, and 10 nights. There's no al here, as in the first ayah. Therefore, it's not specific. Now, these nights are generally understood to be the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. These were the last 10 nights of Arba'een Qalamiyyah, the 40 nights that Prophet Musa a.s. spends with divinity on Mount Sinai. And the mention of nights rather than days may imply the benefit of reflection and praying at night when there's a greater concentration on the inner. Also, every night has its day, and the journey of the human being, which begins in darkness and ignorance, can end with a clear perception of knowledge. The nights may also refer to the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, in which is placed Laylatul Qadr. It may also refer to the first 10 nights of the month of Muharram. As it is the month of Muharram, we will discuss this ayah in relation to the first 10 nights of this month. So let's look at their importance. In a hadith narrated by Sheikh Saduq in Al-Amali, Imam Ridha says that Imam Qadhim was sad and grieved from the first to the 10th. And on the 10th he would say, "This is the day in which Imam Hussein was killed." We will look at 6 things that we should be doing in this month. The first refers to the first of the month. When Rayyan ibn al-Shabib comes to Imam Ridha on the first of Muharram, and Imam says, "Are you fasting?" And he says, "No." And Imam says, "This is the day when Zakariya prayed to his Rabb. He said, 'Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'u ad-du'a.' My Rabb, grant me righteous progeny. Indeed, you hear du'a." And he does this du'a when he sees the sustenance that Sayyidah Maryam is provided. And immediately, Hunalika Qur'an says, he does this du'a asking. The du'a is immediately accepted and answered. Because an angel tells him, "Anna Allaha yubashiruka biyahya." Allah gives you the good news of Yahya. Incidentally, his wife Isha had Yahya 5 years after this du'a was accepted. Imam Ridha says that one who fasts and invokes Allah on this day, Allah will accept and answer his du'a like he accepted and answered the du'a of Zakariya. The second thing to do in these 10 days is to continually send our salams on Aba Abdullah. Remember when Aba Abdullah goes to Imam Zainul Abidin, just before Asr on the day of Ashura, he tells him, "Give a message to my Shias. Whenever they drink water, they should think about the thirst of their Imam." When we see water, we're told to send salams on Imam and say, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." There was a Japanese author, a researcher called Masaru Emoto, who died at the age of 71 in 2014, who claimed that human consciousness had an effect on the molecular structure of water. What he did was, is that he conducted an experiment where he said various things to different glasses of water, and he then froze that water. And the water which had positive thoughts and words,
showed to have beautiful structures, whilst the water that was exposed to ugly or bad thoughts or negative thoughts had ugly frozen crystal formations. So to make a habit of every time you drink water to say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Thirdly, to attend majalis or to hold majalis. Although a majlis is a meeting, a session or a gathering, after the tragedy of Karbala, it became synonymous with Imam Hussein. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asks his companion Fudayl ibn Ayyaz, do you organize majalis to recall the martyrdom of my grandfather Hussein? And when Fudayl says yes, Imam says, may Allah bless you. I highly approve of such gatherings, of such majalis. And then marziyas. Again, we have a hadith in Nafsul Mahamun from Imam Sadiq, who was sitting with a group of people from Kufa. When Ja'far ibn Affan enters, Imam welcomes him and signals him to sit close to him. And he says, Ja'far, I hear you recite marziyas for Imam Hussein and you recite well. And he replied, yes, and Imam asked him to recite. Imam and those around him started weeping. And with a wet beard, Imam said, O Ja'far, the angels close to Allah have descended here and heard your verses and wept like us. Allah has reserved Jannah for you at this very moment and forgiven your sins. O Ja'far, do you want to hear more? And Ja'far said, yes. Imam says, there's none who recites the marthiyas for Imam Hussein and weeps and makes others weep, except that Allah makes Jannah wajib for him and forgives him. And finally, the most important is in these 10 days to reflect on the detrimental effects of oppression, to understand the purpose of life, which is freedom to be enslaved only to divinity. And it is only by softening the heart, it is through these tears that we can awaken our consciousness and bring a realization of the full potential that exists in all of us. Inshallah, more tomorrow.